Praise the Lord. Welcome back to the study of Book of Romans. We were discussing the human nature of Jesus Christ last week. Now we are going to look into the divine nature of Christ. Let us read verse 1 to 7 of chapter 1, and from there we will find out that the divine nature of Christ is eternal and having no beginning point. So Paul speaks of Christ became the son of David regarding his human nature, but here Paul speaks of Christ being declared to be the Son of God. The agent of the announcement is the Spirit of Holiness. That is the Holy Spirit. And the occasion of the announcement is the resurrection of Jesus from among the dead. Holy Spirit is not only the announcer of Jesus as the Son of God, he is the one who raised Jesus from the dead. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. At Pisidia, Antioch, Paul related the resurrection of Christ with the fulfillment of Psalms 2:7, you can see that Paul's message in Acts 13, chapter 33. In this connection, the resurrection of Christ is the point of Christ's coronation. And I hope you are reading the passage. And you know, when you look into the passage, the specific words used there as who through the Spirit of Holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. It says declared with power. The word power is used in the Synoptic Gospel. The Synoptic Gospel is the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, for the miracles of Jesus Christ, the mighty work is the wording used in the Synoptic Gospels. Gospel is the power of God. As you know, Christians live out their faith in a strength not their own, but the power of God's Holy Spirit. The resurrection power, the power which raised Jesus from the dead. The resurrection of Christ is the beginning of the resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Paul talks about Christ as the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. Now Paul uses the title Jesus Christ our Lord. How the title of Jesus Christ applies to the divine nature of Jesus. Total use of the word Lord is 718 times in the New Testament. Out of that, 275 times Paul uses the word Lord in his writing. This title is used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament to give the divine name Yahweh. For Yahweh in Hebrew is translated to Greek as Lord. The Hebrew word Yahweh in the Septuagint is frequently translated as Lord. When they used it of Jesus, they were taking a significant step. So when the New Testament writers used the word Lord for Jesus, it is very significant. It is as equal to Yahweh. Paul uses compound expressions in referring to Jesus. He uses the combination Jesus Christ 15 to 19 times in this letter, and Christ Jesus 13 to 16 times. Lord is combined with one or both of these names 17 times. So the full expression as it is used in this verse, Jesus Christ our Lord, is used about 68 times. Whereas the rest of the New Testament has it only 19 times. See the significance of the use of the compound name in the writing of Paul, especially in the book of Romans, how Paul is trying to prove that Jesus is the divine Son of God. Amen. From all this, it is clear that Paul is fond of compound names, and they helped him bring out the majesty of his Savior. Now, the next part, we can see that Paul is talking about grace and apostleship he received to call people from among all Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. So the word grace is found in Paul's writing more than 100 times, out of its 155 usage in the New Testament. He uses it 24 times in Romans. The basic meaning of the word is that which causes joy. In a Christian context, the saving act of joy In a Christian context, the saving act of Christ brings joy more than anything else in the world. The salvation is free and without any contribution from our side. We did not pay anything, or we cannot pay anything to be saved. That is something completely unearned and unmerited. So grace may be used of salvation in general. You know, Ephesians 2:8 we read, by grace you have been saved. But in this passage, Paul uses the word grace as a gift for service. It is free, divine gift which enables Paul to carry out the task given to him. Read 1 Corinthians 15:10 and Galatians 1:15. Also 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 to 14. Here grace is linked with apostleship. And of course, grace is not regarded as a gift given to the recipient's personal and private enjoyment. It is given in accordance with God's will and to further God's purpose. So what is grace? Two definitions I gave you. Grace is the gift of salvation and also the gift for service. I like to quote a quotation from Moore, M-O-U-L-E. That is, grace is God for us, and grace is God in us. Next, we read about the obedience that brings from faith. Paul talks about the obedience that brings from faith. You know, believers belong to Christ without any reservation. Just like Paul, who was a slave to Christ, and he belonged to Jesus without any reservation. So, we owe him complete obedience. Obedience is not an option for all Christians. That's what Paul says. For obedience unto faith. Again, let me read that verse. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Paul says that the origin of grace and apostleship is from Christ, our Lord. He is the origin of grace and apostleship. So in this work, Paul is saying that he is equal to the Father. You know, grace is the free and unmerited gift of God. Its central gift is Jesus Christ, and in him, salvation. That is the central gift of grace. And this is a gift made jointly and equally by God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So as a joint giver with the Father of divine blessing, he is equal to Father in divine nature. So Paul says his apostleship is a joint bestowal of both the Father and Son. And also in position of the saints in Rome, they are the recipients of both the grace of God and the peace of God from both the Father and the Son. So, Jesus and the Father are same in giving this apostleship to Paul, and also behind the calling of the saints in Rome. In verse 5-7, you can see the nature of salvation. The nature of salvation. You can see that the aim of the gift of grace is the obedience of faith. You know, in James 2:18, you can see some connection of obedience and faith. Now you can see Paul is applying grace to the believers in Rome. Paul shows the effect of their calling in Christ. The believers in Rome are examples of the application of grace and peace among the Gentiles. See, the name of Christ was for Paul the saving name. It is the saving name in his proclamation. Or when Paul preaches the name of Jesus, when people hear the name of Jesus, Paul says it affects the life of people just like it saved him in the past. The Roman believers had been called in that name, and by that calling had become the beloved of God. And thus they had been made saints or holy ones. So the position of these believers involves the grace of their pardon and the giving of the peace of God. The peace which he talks about here is the redemptive peace due to the reconciliation of man and man's reconciliation with God. And these benefits are offered in this benediction. Now let us stop here. And thus far we were discussing about the divine nature of Jesus Christ in this particular lesson. And previously we discussed the human nature. And make sure pay much attention and study well and come back to the next lesson. Until that time, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you. And see you next time.